Welcome back to The Why. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Today, I got a special guest, Miss Allie Patterson. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure I mispronounce names all the time, so I'm just going to check in on that. We're super grateful to have Allie in on the episode today. And Allie, you know, give me the elevator pitch. Tell everybody who you are. That's what we always like to start with.
So I'm Allie Patterson, and I own Fast Track Merchant Solutions. We do credit card processing, point of sale systems, all things credit cards, basically.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
I love that. What got you into that?
It just kind of fell into it. I was in between things. I'd been in a job for a few years, and they shut us down and laid us off out of nowhere, and I was kind of not sure where I was going. And a family friend reached out and said, hey, I could use some help organizing my office. And so I started working with him, and it just kind of spiraled. So I worked for him for over 3 years and then, branched out on my own.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool. That I love that story, and you kind of like just breezed through it, right? Like you gave us the quick, did you always want to own your own thing? Like, is that something you always had the desire to do and maybe just not the opportunity?
Yeah. Well, I was a cosmetologist for just over 10 years.
Okay.
And so initially that's what I always wanted to do. I wanted to own a salon and then I just got burned out. I mean, it was a lot. And, so I, you know, quit doing hair and, started working at the lab, and then I worked at a medical lab for a few years. And then ran a bar kind of also. Okay. I've always served and bartended, so I've been kind of all over.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So,
and it's funny because like, I think that servers and bartenders make the best salespeople because they're really good at relating to people really fast. Mm-hmm. Right. So like when we recruit people, especially in the sales, like I'm always looking, my wife hates it because like, we'll be at dinner and I'll be like, I'm going to try to recruit this person. She's like, can you just enjoy your steak? Like, can you just enjoy your meal?
Right.
And I'm like, no, they're taking care of us. Like, and I know what opportunity I can give them otherwise, you know, type of thing. So, that's super cool. Why the credit card processing piece? Like, how did you find yourself down that path, right?
So that's what my previous boss did. I mean, he did credit card processing for over 20 years. And, you know, he was just trying to get things reorganized and make everything digital. And so I just kind of helped with that transition. And at the time, it was just going to be temporary until I kind of figured out my new path. And then here we are.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool. So like, it's always fun when you get, paid to learn a new thing, you know, that's what I hate about today's world. Like we just have to, you have to go to school and do this and that. Like there's so many opportunities. That's a good example, right? Like where it's not a trade. Cause we always like to say like, you can go learn how to roof, you go learn how to plumb, all that other things.
Right.
But like, there's also opportunities to get with small entrepreneurs and get an opportunity to learn something completely off the wall.
Yeah.
They can lead you down a new path and they'll pay you to do it.
Right.
You know, they'll use their money to train you. So that's super cool. That's something I'm really passionate about. So like when I heard that, I'm like, I've never put two and two together. Right. I've heard plenty of people who have been in that circumstance. But that's super cool.
And that's what I say the same, you know, as a teenager, you never say, I want to grow up and do credit card processing for my career. But once you're in it, I mean, I love what I do.
Yeah.
And working on the front side, doing hair and bartending and serving for years, I understand the front side frustration. And I think that's a lot of why I love what I do. Because, you know, story is, I remember sitting at the bar and our system went down and I was on the phone with our point of sale company for 3 hours trying to fix my own equipment in this tiny little closet and had no idea what I was doing while they were charging my boss. So I never really thought that, you know, when you're a teenager, you never think you're going to grow up and do credit card processing for your career. But it just kind of happened and fell into it.
That's super cool. And that's like, yeah, no, I didn't go to school and I was like, I want to be a roofer, right?
Right.
And I think that's where our education system lacks a little bit. Like we don't let people realize there's other opportunity sometimes, you know, and we just too often want to worry about college is the way. Because that's how our parents were.
Right.
Right. Like that's the only way they knew. And back in the day, it was great. But you have to open their eyes so there's other opportunities to be an entrepreneur, to be a cosmetologist.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with being the trash guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those guys make a great living and nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
It's like a career we look down upon. And there's so many in the business realm, especially, there's so many small little niches like credit card processing that folks can get involved with and get super passionate about.
Right.
Because you're serving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. And that's kind of my story is working on the front side, there was a time where I was at the bar and our system was down. And so I spent 3 hours on the phone with our point of sale company trying to fix my own equipment in this tiny closet, not knowing what I was doing. And they were charging my boss $200 an hour for support service. And, you know, the staff can't work and make money. We can't open the bar because nothing's working. And, you know, I just remember being like, what the hell? Like, I can't do this. And so that's part of it. You know, I don't want my clients to feel like that. So
yeah.
I really want them to know that there can be local support. You know, there are people out there to help.
There's a local solution. And that's the other part too. When you have what the pain point looks like mm-hmm. for them, it's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I know what you're going through because I've been through it too.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can provide perspective.
Right.
That's what it really comes down to.
Yeah.
And that's where the sale becomes easier when you're on the receiving end of what's going on.
Right.
And you can go, hey, I can provide you with value and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a win-win as far as that goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's go back. So like, I love talking about this. This mm-hmm. is great, but I want to know more about you. So like, what's the family life look like? I know a husband, right?
Yeah.
I never want to overstep and be like Evan and I went through his entire episode. And then at the end, I was like, so you have a wife, right? Because he didn't have a wedding ring on. Cause like, I'm trying to look for a hint. And he's like, oh yeah, we've been married for like 27 years. I'm like, you couldn't have told me that in the opening. Anyway, so I never want to like overstep either.
Right.
So you have a husband.
Yep. Husband. We've been together almost 15 years.
Amazing.
And then, I've got a 17-year-old son and then we have an 11-year-old daughter.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
So the dynamic of having the teenagers, like that's kind of been a common theme. Is there mm-hmm. something that, you know, you in particular feel like is just been a struggle versus like when we were growing up type of thing?
No, I mean, you always hear boys are easier and boys aren't always easier. but no, I mean, my kids are polar opposites. So my son loves photography, loves music, loves art. He's a pretty good photographer. And then my daughter's athlete. She's a swimmer through and through and swims all year round and loves it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I think that it's good to, the involvement is really where the, like when you're raising kids, like having a recluse that just hangs out, that's
right.
not cool. But like, you know, not every kid's going to be an athlete.
Right.
Not every kid's going to, you know, the passion point may not be there for
right.
them. I think it's important to get kids involved with activities and sports is always an easy one, right?
Yeah.
But it's cool that he loves photography. That is.
Loves it.
And we need photographers.
Yeah. I mean, he loved bike rides. We live in downtown Sandusky and he loves the water and fishing. So, you know, he started taking bike rides and he'll take bike rides for hours.
Yeah.
And then he came home one day and was like, look at this cool picture I took. And it really just spiraled and he just loves it. So he takes some pretty awesome shots.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
The photographer, like we did our retreat last year in downtown Sandusky and I'm not a Sandusky native. I live in Norwalk now. So I'm relatively close. Right. But we did our retreat there and I did not realize like how pretty downtown mm-hmm. was. Like we did our workout in the morning and I'm like, this place is super cool.
Yeah.
You know, like we go to Tap House and all the, like we love the restaurants up there
yeah.
and stuff, but like enjoying that is mm-hmm. super cool. And I'm glad he was able to find his passion point through that.
Yeah.
That's always, and then he'll have a great story,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, so like you said, you were a cosmetologist for mm-hmm. a while. So that was obviously hair was your passion
mm-hmm.
at some point.
Yeah.
Do you think that you got burnt out because of the minutiae that goes into what hair involved? You know what I mean? Like what I'm saying is like, you always hear I use the car guy cause it's always the car enthusiast or the car enthusiast, like really likes cars. And then you'll hear guys be like, yeah, bro, but like, don't get involved with the car business, just enjoy
right.
cars and find another passion.
No, I love it. And there's a lot of times I miss it.
Yeah.
I went through a series of struggles. I mean, when you put a ton of women together in a salon,
oh, yeah.
it just gets crazy sometimes. And I was at Once Along for a long time, and corporate came in and changed things. And then from there, I just went a few different places and had a hard time, you know, like finding home again. And so that's when I feel like I just kind of got burned out from it, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's the thing is, like, burnout is bound to happen with whatever you do, right?
Right.
Like, if you do something long enough and you don't, let me run that back really quick, because it's against everything that I believe in. Do you think your purpose wasn't strong enough with that, right? Because that's where burnout happens, mm-hmm. if we're truthful. Because there are guys who do the same thing for 50 years, or gals, and they do the same thing for 50 years, and they're super passionate about it, and they never get a burnout, right? Like, the burnout never comes. It's just your why, back to the episode, why we do what we do.
Right.
The purpose is bigger. Like, now, mm-hmm. you found your purpose, it sounds like. You're super passionate about helping business owners. Yeah. And not that you can't do that in hair, but you had a struggle with doing that in
right.
hair. Yeah. You know? And maybe you got too deep in the weeds with it. It's probably the burnout, right?
Exactly. That's the best way to explain it. Yeah.
You got too worried about the money side of it, mm-hmm. instead of the, because I'm sure you got into it because you loved helping people, or helping gals especially, feel beautiful.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Doing hair itself is fantastic, but I feel like the management side and the rest of it was where it got tricky.
Yeah. Because when you're really good at something, especially, you know, as leaders, we try to find folks and we're like, hey, you're really good at this. You need to lead folks. And that's where you never really want to take your best person and put them in that role.
Right.
You know, because then you're taking them out of what they're really good at.
Right.
You want to take that middle ground person that understands all the crap. They're not the best, but they're not the worst.
Right.
And they're going to be really good at finding the details and leading.
Yeah.
But that's a hard thing, because I'm sure that your supervisor at that point, because it sounds like you moved up into management.
Mm-hmm.
Your supervisor at that point was probably really young, because that's a lot of times how salons are. That's how the restaurant world is.
Yeah,
you know,
restaurant
world, bartending. I became a freaking manager at a Pizza Hut at 18. And, like, looking back, I'm like, I wish I would have became a driver. That's where all the money was, you know?
Yeah.
But that's where it's hard as a leader sometimes. Mm-hmm. But you have to make those wrong decisions in order to figure out how to make the right ones.
Right, exactly.
That's cool. So the back to the kids. I was like, I'm a big, like, that's the season of my life I'm in. So if you are like, bro, I'm sick of talking about my kids, no. Move me on. But so they're super involved. You said 17 and 11 mm-hmm. are the ages.
Yep.
So that's, you got a good idea of what's going on with the world today through their lens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think that you've done really well with your kids versus other folks?
Gosh, I don't know. That's a tricky one.
Because it sounds like they're good kids. So that's why I think that I have fair justification for asking that question.
They're good. I don't know. I just try to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've tried and not failed, but I've tried and, you know, I'm sure stressed them out a bunch over the years, especially my teenager, because we were both young. We kind of, you know, I was 19.
You grew up together.
Yeah, we grew up together. So it's been kind of tricky sometimes. But just, you know, I'm just trying to be there, and I'm still the first person he calls sometimes. So that's a good thing.
You were present.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the good way to
put
that.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's where our world's missing a little bit. The buck, right? It's hard to be present. It's hard to be where your feet are.
Mm-hmm.
So good on you for being able to figure that out and to be present. With your kids, you know, like I had somebody tell me that, like, they're never going to be the age they are right now again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a punch in the chest for me.
Right.
You know, cause like it's in business, you know, it's really easy to see where we want to go. And I'm sure that you've got some big goals, cause you are a strong woman just in general. I can tell your husband, you probably wear the pants in your house. Well, I would guess. I'm just,
it depends on the day.
Yeah. My wife and I are the same. A healthy household. It's cyclical, right? Like, it's a spectrum.
Yep.
But you've got some big goals. But at the same time, we have to remember, like, it's like do you watch The Office?
No. I know.
So there's a quote from The Office that I wish I knew we were in the good old days when we were in the good old days.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, that's that mentality of like, I enjoy the journey now than I enjoy the destination.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy doing really cool big things. I enjoy starting a podcast, but like the getting in the weeds, the details, the technical difficulties that we're having today,
right?
That's more fun. Like we'll look back and we'll be like, remember that day when Allie was here and we didn't have all the setup and, you know, and that's more fun. Right. And it sounds like you realized that pretty early.
Yeah, I tried to.
So, growing up fast, you know, having a baby at 19, mm-hmm. good on you.
Yeah.
You know, not saying you didn't stumble along the way,
right?
But it sounds like you got a good kid.
Yeah.
And that's a good reflection of you.
He is. Yeah. Thanks.
So that's super cool. What are you super passionate about right now?
So I've always been a helper.
Okay.
I wasn't athletic or artsy in school. I was the kid that volunteered at the nursing homes when I was in school. I was, you know, the helper. That's me. I'm the helper. I'm the volunteer. So right now I sit on the board of directors for Leadership Erie County.
Okay.
And I love it. I mean, I went through the class a couple years ago, and I really love what it stands for and what they do. And my husband's side of the family started a foundation. And so it's a scholarship foundation for students in Erie County.
Yeah.
The requirements are a little different. So it's meant for those kids that kind of can fall in the cracks, you know, that may not, qualify for certain scholarships. So
like not straight A students.
Right.
Not kids that working, have all the means.
Yep. Yeah. Working parents, things like that.
Yeah.
So I am, you know, we're looking to start a fundraiser and do a couple other things. So I'm just, you know, I'm that. So helper.
That's the best way I've ever probably had that answer question to this point is that you're a helper. Like you identified who you are.
Yeah.
Right. And then you know your identity and that you're a helper. You're the person that's willing to do the crap that no one else wants to do.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's super cool. I want to go back to the scholarship thing. So what got you guys involved with that?
So they just, my father-in-law's been on the school board for a long time. My husband's whole family is involved in the district. You know, they've all taught and coached and been around.
Is your husband a teacher?
Nope.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah. Nope. He went to school to teach, and then took a different path in life. So.
In the same way.
But they are, his cousins, you know, everybody's just involved, have always liked to help the kids, you know, that may not get the help or may not have what they need at home.
Yeah.
So, they kind of started it from there and, you know, we're just starting to get it to grow now.
So it's beautiful how this stuff always works out and, you know, I don't know where you are with your faith, but I think God always works the way that he needs to. And, so ironically, I'm working with the Revolt Foundation. I've talked about this a few times on different podcasts and, we're working on a Life 101 for Erie and Huron Counties. So I may lean on you a little bit because my passion right now has turned into that underprivileged youth category, mm-hmm. right? Like it's really cool to go out and get the kids that are like their parents have the means to get them there. Right.
Right.
It's super cool to get those kids involved. And I don't want to ever tell those kids to not come.
Right.
But the segment where we can have the most impact is those kids that don't have the means to come. The mm-hmm. kids where I can lean on my church and go, hey, how can we bus these kids here? Or how can I work with, because you, I love how connections work,
right?
And I love the network, net worth, all that good stuff. So I'm going to lean on you a little bit with that and just, you know, we can ask some questions off camera, but I think that we can work hand in hand and help each other out in that aspect for sure. Yeah. Because I'm always looking to try to get involved with the less fortunate, right? Mm-hmm. And, if you look at it really through the right lens, those are the people that are making the most impact.
Right. Absolutely.
They're making the most splash. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not saying it's like I feel like I bring this up on every podcast. It's like the illustration of the alcoholic and the doctor and they're twins and they had an alcoholic father
mm-hmm.
and you asked the alcoholic why he's an alcoholic and he goes, well, my dad was an alcoholic.
Right.
And he asked the doctor why, you know, it's a matter of how can we get those kids in the right mind frame.
Right, exactly.
That life didn't happen to you, it happened for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can use this as leverage and a springboard to go forward and be in a position like we are now.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure you faced some adversity in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, the baby young is probably the biggest thing, right?
Yeah.
That was probably the hardest.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I come from a split family, so my parents are both remarried. My grandparents were all divorced and remarried. Whereas my husband, his parents have been together for over 50 years. So, you know, coming from a split family, you know, and I was passed over for scholarships for things, you know, paid my way through cosmetology school, things like that. So I definitely understand. Not that my parents weren't there, but, you know.
You had present parents, but I come from a split. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like, there's a missing piece there.
Right. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to go back to that a little bit because it sounds like, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to make sure you understood. I knew what you were saying.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's something that was a super important or super impactful in your life is that, you know, how did you navigate that? Like, how old were you when your parents?
So I was a baby, so okay. I don't ever remember my parents together. They both got remarried, I think when I was 5, maybe 7. So, you know, I was very young. So I've always grown up with 4 parents. You know, when I talk about my dad and stepmom, they're my parents, and my mom and stepdad, they're my parents. Same thing. My step families are my, you know, my grandparents and my aunts and uncles. And so I have a massive family.
and we do, we're the same way here. Like, I say here because like both my parents work for me, but they're divorced. So it's weird. Work with me. I should word that properly, but, it's like, you don't know another way.
Right.
But, how did you, so I'm sure that was something you were passionate about with, breaking that cycle, you know, because I am like, you know, just to get a little bit in what my life, like on my mom's side, all of her siblings had a divorce at some point in time or another. And my dad, they were all married to the same people aside from my dad. Mm-hmm. And he's been married to my stepmom for 23 years now. I wanted to break that. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want that curse, whatever that was,
right?
You know, to hang over my head. And I'm not knocking my grandparents. There's clearly something there. Right. If you understand how psychology works, something was jacked up, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise it would have been perfect. You know? So how did you,
and that was, I mean, I had my son before I met my husband. He was about 2.5 when we met. His dad's not in the picture. He hasn't ever been in the picture. So when I was younger, I struggled with that a lot. But again, my husband has been amazing. So supportive. And exactly that. That's a big thing that we talk about between the two of us is breaking that cycle, you know. And, you know, we've been through a lot, the two of us, and always seem to work through whatever's going on. And, you know, we just, so.
You navigate it. Yeah. And that's the conversations you have to have as a couple.
Right.
Right. Do you think that our society today has allowed, because like it's a throwaway society, right?
Yeah.
It's much easier just to throw it out and start over and think that the grass is greener, you know? And you guys have been together, so 15 years?
In May it'll be 15 years.
Congratulations, that's awesome. You said you've been to, there's some struggles. What was the foundation point for you guys? Like what was that, you know?
So when we met, we were both kind of at low points.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with my son. My mom actually had custody for a few years.
Okay.
When he was a toddler. So, and my husband had gone through some things and he was at a low point too. And, I feel like we really leaned on each other. And that's one thing my husband will say is more so than like the love or the butterflies or anything like that. What we've built a lot on is that we've always had each other's back, you know, no matter what, whether I hurt him, he hurts me, whatever it is. We have always been able to stand behind each other.
That's awesome.
So I feel like that's what we've built our whole relationship on, you know?
Do you think that, I think that my wife and I went through everything that we went through beforehand so that we can learn how to appreciate each other, right?
Yeah.
And truly, truly love each other. So that's always been my perspective. Interesting, you know, because life's not easy.
No.
Living with someone's not easy. Nope. You know, bringing up all their crap's not easy. Right. And throwing that into the mix. And it, well, heck, you were 21, 22 when mm-hmm. you guys met.
Yeah.
I mean, how is he a lot? Is he older than you?
6 years.
Okay. Yeah. It's not anything drastic.
No.
Even if it was, I don't care. Live your life, right? But so you were probably, you matured, like if we understand psychology, right? Like the biologic part of it, men were slow. Like we mature at like 26, 27. And women, you guys are typically done around 24. But having that baby, mm-hmm. you had to grow up really fast.
Yep.
And then he was already through those formative years.
Right.
You guys were perfect for each other.
Yeah.
But you had to go through that crap in order to get that.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks. It really does. It's not fun in the moment. But now look at what this beautiful life is.
And that, we said that too. Years. Had we not gone through what we went through before, we would have never met.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't have, you know, we never would have had the conversation, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super awesome. What has been the pin, like, do you guys, I want to ask this right. And I don't want to ever put it in a bad context. I'm assuming you guys have your own way of keeping the love, especially having two kids. You're both professionals. It's hard. What has been the key for you guys for that? Like, what's worked for you guys is, I guess, what my question is, to keep dating or to, because it wasn't always easy. I'm not saying it was,
right.
But now it sounds like it's very healthy.
Yeah.
And what worked?
I don't know. We kind of thrive on the little things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, once a week I try to go. My husband usually takes our daughter to school in the mornings. So about once a week I try to go with them. We drive through McDonald's, we get breakfast, and then afterwards he and I will just go drive downtown for about 15, 20 minutes and just talk.
Be intentional.
Yeah. I mean, we even sometimes with our daughter now, we just like to go for a drive and we just to talk. And I don't know, that's just been a big thing for us. You know, for us to be able to have that time and the conversation and to just be present, you know, with each other. I don't know. I feel like that's been good.
Yeah.
You know,
to be where your feet are.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys have been doing that for quite a while then, right?
Yeah. I feel like that's always, you know, when we were struggling together, whether it was financially or whatever, we were still able to do that, you know, just to take that little bit of time and connect.
Yeah.
So,
and that's where the love comes for those older generations. Like your husband's parents have been together for 50 years, mm-hmm. you said. I bet you they really cherish little things.
My mother-in-law, she draws and paints and things like that. And so during COVID, they would go for drives all over. They'd go to Cleveland or Lorain or Toledo. And she took photos of church steeples and then drew them. And so we talk about that a lot, you know, like that's kind of what got them through COVID was just being able to take those drives and they do the same thing. It seems like their Sunday afternoons, like, oh, we're going to go for a drive. We'll be back, you know, after a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's super cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And that's, it's good because that's probably where it helps is right for you guys is you had a good example,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't want to get too far off of it here, but like, it sounds like you had an example, a little bit of what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And your husband had a great example of what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to that illustration, you know, you guys were able to marry that together and go, hey, we're going to make this work.
Right.
And here's what this, I always say like, it's Franken business or Franken, I'm, you know, becoming a dad. I'm going to be Franken dad or I'm Franken husband. Like what works for them is not going to necessarily work for us, but we're going to try our damnedest to figure it out.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so that's super cool. Yeah. I like that. I like just the short drive stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and that helps you guys keep dating.
Yeah.
That's where marriage really fails, if mm-hmm. we're honest.
When we, I know, you know, when you go through the marriage counseling beforehand, our pastor was fantastic. And, you know, he said you have to continue to date.
Yes.
You know, if you give it up once you're married, because we already had kids, then, you know, you're going to get lost.
Yes.
And so, you know, at first we tried to, you know, plan out and go somewhere for a night and whatever. And it just doesn't always work that way. And so we try to find that little time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just steal it, right? Yep. Like just steal it and say, hey, because, you know, it's really easy to lay in bed, scroll on TikTok,
right.
whatever mm-hmm. nowadays. And it just steal the time back.
Yep.
and say, hey, we're going to be super intentional for these 20 minutes, especially when babies are involved. It makes it that much. There's that another, now there's another level.
Right.
And too often, like it's really easy for you to identify as mom and him to identify as dad and forget that you guys once were, Allie, what's your husband's name?
It's Cooter.
Cooter.
Yeah.
You were Allie and Cooter, right? At one point, you were Allie and Cooter.
Right.
And you guys decided to do this thing called life together. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really easy. It's really easy to be like, I'm going to be mom today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to focus on being mom, or I'm going to focus on being business owner. And instead, then we let our marriage fall to the wayside and not focus on that. Mm-hmm. And then it's just one thing after another and it builds up, right?
Yep.
I'm proud of you guys.
Thanks.
I'm super proud of you guys. I love that. I just love the little drive thing. That I'm hung up on that because, so my wife and I, our big thing right now, especially as our daughter's getting here, is we're super intentional about our time together type of thing. Mm-hmm. And we just, four times a year, so once a quarter, we want to do a small getaway. I'm not mm-hmm. looking to freaking, you know, we live super close to the lake, go rent a lake house for two nights, mm-hmm. a night. And it's going to be hard once our daughter's here. It's hard now. We're both very busy professional people.
Right.
But I'm going to make her do that. We're going to just jump in the car and drive because she hates it. If we don't have a destination.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My wife is the planner, like down to the T. I love you, honey, but you are the planner. Like she's got to have all the details, like the birth plan stuff, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, glad it's you because I'm like, hey, I gotta go to somewhere. I'll book my flight today.
Right.
Tomorrow type of thing. Yeah. So I'm very go with the flow kind of guy. She is not. So, but I really like that. Mm-hmm. And it works for you guys.
Yeah.
That's the best part. That's truly the best part.
Yeah.
What is, actually, I'm gonna make me the cup. So I'm a big goal guy. I'm huge on goals. Mm-hmm. Like it's been pivotal for me in my life and like small goals, big goals, whatever. Because it's kind of like with you guys with your drives. Like, that's why my wife hates it, right?
Right.
If we don't have a destination, then it's hard to know where we're going. And sometimes we can take the long way and all that good stuff. So, like, what's a big goal that you have right now for maybe like the next 12 months? And it could be anything, right? Spiritually, financially, personal life.
I want to be the healthy me.
Okay.
I've got some autoimmune disorders, and so I've struggled with my health since I was a teenager. And especially after our daughter was born, I was real sick for a while. So I just want to get back to that healthy me.
Okay.
So that's my big goal this year, personal-wise. Professional-wise, I just want to grow and help. You know, I mean, my goal this year is to get our name out there, you know, just show people that we can help. I mean, what we do is kind of double-edged and most people don't want to talk about it in their business. It's not fun. So I just want people to really see that it's not all terrible.
Okay.
So.
Is it okay if I break these down a little bit with you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's go to the first one, the healthy part. Do you have something measurable around that? And I was just running a retreat literally yesterday. And I always say it's always easy to do the scale figure, right? And that's always easy. But it sounds like for you, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. It sounds like you already have something, or it looks like you already have something, but just maybe to make you think a little bit deeper. It could just be like your energy levels.
And that's a big part of it. So with my thyroid, I kind of fluctuate. So there's times where I've got great energy. I can go for weeks. I feel fantastic. I wake up and then I kind of feel it start to switch and I could sleep for hours. I mean, I feel like I could sleep for 2 days.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just kind of balancing that out. So I'm not so up and down.
Okay. So maybe is there like an hours per day that you want to be active type of thing?
No. I mean, right now I'm just trying to, I don't know, I'm just kind of going with the flow, trying to figure it out. And just trying to, I don't know. I mean,
here's why I ask, because it's always, it can go two ways if we don't attach something to it. I'm just imploring you to go figure that out,
right,
and get that more defined for yourself, because it can go one of two ways. Like, you can either be really easy on yourself and mm-hmm. say, well, yeah, I loosely accomplished it, right, or, and I'm this way. I get super hard on myself and I'm like, you didn't do enough, all yeah. that. So if we have a finish line, mm-hmm. it's much easier to just get in the, go back to the hair salon thing.
Right.
Not be in the sticking weeds about it and just, yeah, hey, this is exactly where we're going. It might take us a little longer to get there because we navigate it. So I just, I'm a big goal setter guy. Mm-hmm. I love goals, but I also like having clear, defined.
Right.
And I know that's a hard one to, yeah, to want to put something around, because I've got some idea of what that autoimmune stuff looks like. I've got some folks in my family that have dealt with that, and it's terrible, man. It's rough because it's all over the place.
Yeah,
you know, so it's hard to get that locked down.
Right.
So yeah, if there's another side goal that you can attach to that, to say, you know, like, I'm getting a full 8 hours of sleep a night if you use Apple Watch or whatever, right, to track that, yeah, you know. Because that's something you're struggling with.
Yeah.
It sounds like it might be. Just, yeah, good rest, mm-hmm, you know?
Yep, good rest. And I really want to get back to the gym. I used to go to the gym regularly. And, you know, then when I started not feeling the best, I kind of let it go instead of pushing through it maybe. So, you know, getting back to the gym, I think, is my big goal, especially for summer.
Yeah.
You know, in whatever capacity I can do, is just to get there.
Yeah.
So
then maybe that could be, by a certain date, you're right there 4 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, and in that way, you can say, hey, I fell short, but I was close.
Mm-hmm.
Or I blew that thing out of the water. Right. There's 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And I look at me, I'm the best shape I've ever been in, type of thing. So, yeah, I'm passionate about goals, but I also want to make sure that there's I think the why is super easy with that one. Like, your reasons mm-hmm. are good. So let's go to the business one, the exposure piece. Mm-hmm. So, like, is it, how can you attach that, right? Like, how can exactly. we get that? So, like, is it having exposure on a Facebook page, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want to have 1,500 followers on a Facebook page.
Yeah.
That could be one.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know? I'm really good at that. I can do business ones right off the room. But maybe that's one, or maybe it's if you're a super well-spoken person, you look better than I do. It could be growing a TikTok page and informing right. people about that or something of that nature. Like, that way, it's a same thing.
Which, it's funny because I was scrolling on TikTok not long ago and I just searched, you know, merchant services because it's a weird topic.
Yeah.
And I saw this TikTok that was absolutely horrible.
Yep.
It's the worst advice I'd ever seen. And I went, I cannot believe that this is out here. So, yeah, definitely, you know, trying to put a good light, shed a good light on what we do, would be awesome.
So unsolicited advice, I'll give it to you anyways. What I think that too oftentimes as business owners, like, we want to speak to them like we want to be spoken mm-hmm. to, and too often we don't think about the customer's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times, like, if you go through those, like, roofers are the worst. Nobody cares about a shingle, dude. Right. Nobody wants to see it. They want to see fun stuff. They want to, yeah. you know, so best piece of advice I can give you there, just that we've noticed with our marketing, is like, less is more sometimes mm-hmm. and just having good quality, consistent content. Cause I think the business owners do need proper education on how that stuff works.
Right.
Too oftentimes it'll be tied to, you know, whatever service we're using and we pay the fee and then we get screwed in the long run. And like you said, you could even do, where do you see that? You could do a reaction video to theirs mm-hmm. and go, hey, look, that's not how this works. Because like I said, you're very well spoken. You have the bartending background. So that's the bartending and serving background.
Right.
We're great at talking to people.
Yeah.
you know, just talk to someone like they're not there, like that camera's not there right now, right? So that's good. I would like to, I'm going to lean on you after this. You know, I'll follow back up in about a week. And I want to hear, like, what is the, I want a hardcore goal.
I'm going to.
So, and more defined. And if we never go through that, you know, me in the beginning, I'm like, we want to do $1 million or whatever,
right.
you know, that's great. But like, let's work on little side goals to get there because the other stuff will come, you know, like that's the thing. If you create the exposure, the mm-hmm. business is yeah. powerful. Oh,
yeah. Right.
Right. You just become the authority in the space.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to applaud you for that. And then the other thing too, have an accountability partner.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Have somebody that, it's great that we're speaking this stuff out into the camera and, you know, millions of people are going to, hundreds of people are going to watch it and all that good stuff. That's great. But also too, like for me, I struggle with the gym because, my health is one of my least favorite topics of discussion because I fail it constantly. But I struggle with going to the gym because it's easier for me to go if someone's going with me.
Yeah. When I was in the gym regularly, there were three of us that all worked at the office together, and we'd get up, we'd meet each other there, we'd go to the gym, then we'd go to work.
Yep.
And so we were there 5 days a week, and it was great. And then once I started traveling for work and I wasn't in the office as much, then it just kind of got a little too easy, you know, to be like, oh, I'll travel, you know, I'll hit the gym when I travel, and then I don't get to the gym. And then, yeah, so absolutely.
Yeah, and that's always the hard part.
Which is kind of funny because my daughter, being the athletic one, she pushes me a lot. She'll go, all right, let's go for a walk. Or, you know, so I don't know. She's like my little mini mom, I think. A lot of times.
I love that. Mini mom. And that's the mini mom, like her keeping you in line. And that's the other thing too that we oftentimes forget, especially with you having kids, like it sounds like quality time may be one of your love languages.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And your husband does a great job of, whether it's his or not. It's always great when you guys just line up and you're like, perfect, you know? It could even be just like a walk. Hey, you know, because your son's in photography.
Yeah.
For your health. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to go on an hour walk, you know, tonight. Yeah. And he does pictures along the way and you get to get in his passion too. And mm-hmm. that's what's always like, people are like too often worried about like, I got to go to the gym or it's like, freaking work it into what you're already doing.
We've got a whole herd of dogs. So for us, it's walking the dogs.
Yeah.
We'll each take a dog. I mean, we have four. So we'll each take a dog and just, you know, go for walks and...
Big dogs, little dogs. Now you're on the...
A whole mix.
I care less about goals now.
A whole mix of dogs. So...
We're dog people too. I don't trust people that don't like dogs. I'm like...
Right.
You sure, bro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Anyways. But yeah, no, then that's what's cool about it too. Because then the dogs need the exercise. Like... And you're getting the exercise in as well.
Yeah.
You know, because it sounds like you guys live in the city. Like, we're in the country. Mm-hmm. So our dogs just kind of run. And
yeah.
My wife works at a farm. So they go to the farm. Like, literally dropped them off this morning because she's out of town. And they go to the farm every day. And that's what they do. Like, they're farm dogs. But you got to get that energy out of them. Because mm-hmm. that's why they tear up your house. That's why they're
absolutely
heathens, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's super cool. Well, I appreciate you for sharing that stuff. Because I think, like, there's a lot of stuff in here that relates, you know, and I tell with every conversation, it's gold nuggets along the way that we pick up that, mm-hmm. that's super important. I like to open the last, you know, couple minutes here of every podcast. If there's anything that like either was on your heart or just has come to you or whatever, the floor's yours. It's your podcast now.
I don't know. I can't really think of much.
And you don't have to.
Yeah.
I just always like to open it back up and just, if there is something like that we didn't talk about that you're like, man, I really wish we would have talked about that.
Yeah.
But hey, we got everything out there that needed to get out there. I really do want to thank you for coming
for
on.
Sure.
And,
thanks for having me.
You helped me more than I could probably help you. And I'm excited to hear about those goals. Yeah. I'm excited to be able to follow back on those and go from there. We will drop Allie's socials down there, especially because I know she's going to be blowing that Fast Track Solutions up. We'll drop that mm-hmm. in there. Give that thing a like so that way we can help her with her goals. And more than anything, y'all, just keep – we want to appreciate you for tuning in, listening to Allie and I speak. Yes. And we hope that we were able to provide some value to your life. And as you go out into the world, you know, continue to figure out ways to define your purpose, to ask yourself what you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing. And, you know, as always, we're going to ask you, what's your why?